What a great job here this morning, amen. Go take your positions as well. Grab your Bibles, amen. And this morning, I titled this message, The Tools of Being a Godly Father. Amen. The Tools of Being a Godly Father. And you can also easily title this message, The Tools of Being a Great Father, amen. Because it is a godly father is a great father.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And this morning, amen, I'm very humbled to be able to deliver this message here because I know all my flaws and mistakes as being a man and also being a father. Amen. I'm not up here trying to proclaim to know it all. Amen. I don't know it all. Amen. I'm just giving you God's word. Amen. All I know is what God's word teaches me. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's all I'm going to share this morning. Amen. The scriptures and a few things that the Lord has allowed me to experience as a father. Then I'll share those. Amen. As the Holy Spirit allows me to. But most of all, amen, I want to give you what the word says. Is that all right?
Amen.
So I found this great story in the book of Acts chapter 16. And the Holy Spirit brought this story to remembrance. Amen. And there's a lot of stories because, you know, the Bible is a book written by our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Right.
And so, you know, He put a lot of great examples in the Bible of fathers, but He also put some bad examples.
Yeah.
And so, but the Holy Spirit just brought me to this portion of Scripture. Amen. And that it's important, I believe, for every father to understand and to know. And when I talk about fathers, I'm also talking about to all you single moms that are raising your children, amen, that you have to play both roles, amen. We tip our hat off to you also, amen. But I want to share this this portion of Scripture with you here this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25, amen. Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25. We're going to read through verse 34. Again, the title of this message is The Tools of Being a Godly Father. And we want to thank all those that are tuning in on Facebook Live. You're watching through YouTube throughout the week. We welcome you to our Sunday morning celebration service. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas decided to have a prayer meeting. A worship meeting. It says, we're praying and singing hymns to God. I think we were doing that this past Friday, weren't we?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. We had a great time Friday night.
Yeah.
Powerful. It says, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. That never happened to me. Probably would have been a different outcome. Amen. And everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now, to us, this may not make sense, but if one prisoner would have escaped, back in those days, it would have been the head of the jailer. The king would have executed the jailer. Now, knowing that, it makes a little bit more sense. So he said, instead of the king killing me, I might as well kill myself. So check it out. He was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Wow.
If we had a generation of people that would ask that question,
wow,
what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. But that's not it. Tell your neighbor, that's not it. You and your household. How many know that's a good promise right there?
Yeah.
Verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. Is anybody filled with joy because you're saved? Because you know God? Come on, somebody. Huh? Just knowing God, amen, gives us joy.
Amen.
It says, he and his whole household. That should be every father's desire.
Amen.
Is to see their whole house saved.
Amen.
Fathers, daughters, wives, sons, bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the reading of your word. Your word is powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword, a discerner of thoughts and hearts, a divider of even joint and marrow. Father, let your word go forth today with simplicity, but with power and with full understanding, that every hearer may be edified, every heart encouraged. Father, examine our hearts. Right now we pray, and provoke us, encourage us, strengthen us through your word. I pray for every father here this morning. God, teach us to be better fathers, because we thank you, because you are our heavenly Father. We give you all the praise and glory, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. The tools of being a godly father. A godly father. Now, if there's one thing you don't mess with, is a man's tools. Come on. How many preachings have I heard because of tools?
Hello.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Tools. Somebody say tools.
Tools.
Huh? We got some nice tools up here. You know, when you think about tools, you know, there's like the obvious tools, right? Like, everybody knows what this is. What is this? It's a hammer. What do you do with it? No, you don't break windows. Right? You hammer nails. They're like obvious tools. You know, obvious tools. We don't got too many obvious tools. For commercial, we have a photo booth for all the dads. You can take a picture at the tool booth over there. Then you got obvious tool like a screwdriver. You know? An obvious tool is something like this. You know, right? What is this? It's an obvious tool. Screwdriver. They're obvious tools. But then there's some tools that, like, kind of like this one. Like, what does this thing do? You know? Right? Oh, it's not to hit people over the head? Huh? Like, what do you do with this thing? You know? Right? I mean, you fathers know. Right? But do the ladies know? Yeah, what do you do? They don't even answer. Amen. there's a lot of different tools. I've seen tools. I've looked at tools, and I'm like, what does this thing do right here? Huh? There's different tools. You know, some are obvious screwdrivers. Some, you know, you got an Allen wrench. You know, it's like, you ever seen a weird looking screw, and you're like, you know, that is not a star, and it's not a flat, right? Come on, somebody. That's like a weird one we've never seen. Those are what you call specialty tools.
Yeah.
Specialty tools. I believe that as fathers, we all know like how to use the obvious tools. We know what a hammer does, a screwdriver does. Amen. If you're like me, you might not know what it does. All right. Amen. But then there's some tools that you find it's like you don't know what that tool does. You know what that tool does. And when we talk about fatherhood, you have to use all the tools. All the tools. You got to use the obvious ones. Like love. Loving your children. That's an obvious tool. Love your kids. It's an obvious tool. But then there's some tools. There's some problems that are going to come your way as a father that it's not going to take the obvious tool. It's going to take some tools from the Word of God. It's going to take some digging into God's toolbox. To find that specialty tool that only fixed that problem. And this is why it's important that you get to know your way around the toolbox. This is God's toolbox that is full of tools to teach us how to be a father. To us as fathers, the obvious, we know what these tools do. We know what the generator does. We know what the sawhorses do. And we may know how to use a hammer and a drill and all these great tools. And that's great. You can build your kids a house. You can fix their car. That's great. But if you're going to fully help your children, you're going to have the tools from this toolbox. It's not enough just to know how to sling a hammer.
Right.
It's not enough just to know how to use a drill. You're going to have to be skilled also to learn how to get around in God's toolbox.
Hello. Good.
You're going to have to learn how to use these tools. Huh? You have to use these tools. This is a toolbox that God has given every dad, every parent,
right,
to learn it and to get familiar with it. Today, I want to pull out 12 tools from this scripture that teach us how to be good godly fathers. I'm going to have some obvious ones, and there's going to be some ones that are specialty ones. The first one here is like an obvious one. Number one is provider. If you want to be a great godly father, you're going to have to be, first of all, a provider. Somebody say provider. These here are not in no special order. They just come in the order the scripture gives. But when we look at Acts chapter 16, we see in verses 25 to 34 that in this verse that this jailer was a provider. He was a provider. He was a jailer. That means he had a job. And his job was to make sure the prisoners didn't escape. Now, it's one thing to be a provider, and that's just, sometimes as fathers we think that that's like 80% of the job done. But that can be farther from the truth. It is a big part, yes it is. But let me tell you something, you can't base your fatherhood on just being a provider.
Right.
Why do I say that? Because there's going to be some times that will come your way that will rob you of being that provider.
All right. Come on now.
That's what we see with this jailer. This jailer all of a sudden found himself with the reality that not only was he about to lose his job, but he's about to lose his life.
Yeah.
Huh? And when we place all our trust in being a provider, when we place all our trust as a father in our job or in our career, because that's what gives us the paycheck. When we place all that as a provider, as being number one, we're putting our hope in something that is fickle, in something that is weak, in something that is like sinking sand. You can't put all your hope in money. You can't put all your hope in your job. You can't put all your hope in your boss or in your career. It is great. Listen, have a job and have a boss. Hello, somebody. And get a paycheck. Please do. Because you need to be the provider. And that's what a father does, is that he provides for his family. The Word of God says, if a man cannot provide for his own house, if he cannot handle and keep his own house in order, how can he set in order the house of God? If a man doesn't provide for his own family, the scripture says, he is worse than an infidel.
Wow.
The word infidel means an unbeliever. So if you haven't put your belief in Christ, well, add it up, help somebody. But that's what the scripture says. That as Christians, that we are to be those godly providers. Before Christ, maybe we didn't provide. Maybe we didn't pay our child support. Maybe we didn't buy milk and eggs and honey. Maybe we weren't there. But now that we're Christians, now that we're men of God, things have to change. And now we must provide the right way. We can't provide the wrong way. We can't go out there and try to steal and rob and hustle and slang dope. My friend, now we must do good. The Bible says now you must learn to do good with your hands. Tell somebody, if you don't know how to sling a hammer, better learn how to sling a hammer. If you ain't gonna learn how to sling a hammer, then you better learn how to type on that little computer. And if you don't know how to type on that little computer, you better learn how to be a good salesman. But you gotta start doing things right. You gotta start providing right. Before I provided wrong, I used to be a dope dealer. I slung dope. I sold 20s and dimes and 16s and 8 balls and quarter sacks and ounces and acid and pills. If it would sell, I sold it. And I thought that was being a provider. But oh, lo and behold, one day the 5-0 caught up to me, and there I go into the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and I wasn't providing, didn't it squat no more. See, the devil will try to get you to think, oh, you can sell dope and provide, but what happens when that runs out? What happens when you get busted? What happens when you go, and then who's going to provide? The neighbor? The milkman? Come on, somebody. You got to provide the right way. So the tool to be a godly father, this man right here, this jailer, he had a job. And he was providing. He probably thought he was the bomb.com. He probably thought, man, I'm the dad of the year. Because I'm providing. Come on, somebody. So the second tool goes along with what I just said, is that the second tool that you got to have is not only just to be a provider for your children and your family, but you got to have the tool that is flawed. The tool of flaws. Flaws. Somebody say flaws.
Flaws.
Flaws. Flaws. I like that song that EGR sings. I got flaws. And as a dad, you may say, how is that a tool, Pastor? How is having flaws a tool? Because listen, your best tool is your transparency. Your best tool as a father is to live out your life before your children and to show them that, listen, you ain't perfect. I'm not saying be cussing around them and be drinking around them and, you know, just be a bad example to them. But I am saying to be real before them. That's what we see in this jailer here. This jailer, he was a provider, but he also had flaws. Look what happens. It says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once all the prison doors were open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He was about to make the biggest mistake of his life. He is about to commit suicide. Wow. Why? Because he had flaws. He had flaws. There's probably people here that have thought about committing suicide. Why do they think that? Because they know their flaws. I'm all messed up. I'm all jacked up. Nobody loves me. Man, I can't do nothing right. Man, nothing goes right for me. Guess what? You're amongst good company.
Hello.
Who amongst us doesn't have flaws? Who amongst us doesn't have flaws? And then listen, fathers, if you're going to be a great father, you have to come to the reality that you are a flawed individual. This jailer had a flawed way of thinking. And we got to come to a point as fathers that we quit trying to be that perfect father. Sometimes the harder you try, the more of a dummy you end up being. Huh? See? Because sometimes we're there, we're trying so hard to hide our flaws and try to put up this facade of perfection and I got everything in order and I'm always right. Listen, you ain't going to help your children if you have the mentality to say that you're always right. You're going to have to show them that, listen, you're going to have to admit that I was wrong when I told you that. I was wrong when I did that. I was wrong when I talked to your mom like that. I was wrong in what I did. I was wrong. I messed up and I ain't afraid to say it because I know that I serve a perfect God, that I'm not perfect, but He is, and I don't gotta be perfect. And I'm here to tell you that I got flaws, but I thank God that Jesus died for my flaws. You gotta let flaws flow. Let flaws flow. What do I mean by that? I mean don't get stuck on them. Just let them flow. Listen, flaws are just going to happen. We don't have to practice them. They come natural. But listen, you got to learn to let flaws flow. Let them flow. What does that mean? That means don't get stuck on them. Let them flow by. They're going to happen. Don't get stuck on them. Get over them. Just let them flow by. Because guess what? Sooner or later, there's going to come another flaw and another flaw. But you have to learn to just let them flow by. Through the grace of God and through the mercy of God, just let it flow. See, only the Father can fix them. Only God can fix your flaws. He is. Listen, you know what God is? He is the fixer of fathers.
Come on now.
God is the fixer of fathers. Huh? Then you're looking at a father that was messed up. You're looking at a father that I was a bad father. I was a bad example. Huh? And I'm not still a perfect father today. But I'm glad He's fixing me. I said, I'm glad He's fixing me. And I'm not ashamed to know and to confess that I got flaws as a husband and as a father and yes, even as a pastor. But listen, I'm okay with that. I'm okay because God didn't call me to be perfect. He called me to be a pastor. God didn't call you to be perfect. He called you to be a Christian. He called you to be a father. And listen, if there's one thing that your children are going to learn from, they're not going to learn from just all your strengths and all the good parts. They're also going to learn from your mistakes. Somebody say amen. The greatest lessons that your children might learn are the lessons that you made a mistake on, my friend. And that's all gravy, baby. Because if I can teach my children not to make the same mistake that I made, all that I've done my job. This is why I testify. This is why I'm not ashamed of where I came from. I'm not ashamed that I was in a gang, that I was a drug addict, that I was a dope dealer, because I just say that to remind my children that's where I came from. You don't repeat the same mistakes that I made. The tools of flaws. See, that's a specialty tool.
Good.
That flaw, that's like that specialty tool right there. It's like, how do we use this?
Oh, that's good.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Then the third tool, not only did this jailer was a provider, not only did he have flaws, but this jailer learned how to listen. You have to have the tool of an ear.
Good.
Of an ear. He says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken at once. All the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But what saved him? Because he thought the prisoners had escaped, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Imagine if he wouldn't have listened. Imagine if he wouldn't have an ear to hear Paul say, wait! If you're gonna be a godly father, you're gonna have to learn how to listen. God gave us one mouth and two ears so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Listen for what? Listen for the voice of God. A good father is a man that knows how to hear the voice of God. A good father is a man. How do you listen to the voice of God? Through prayer. Huh? But some people, they talk too much in prayer. And every time God tries to get a word in, it's like a rabba-dabba-doo. And then God tries to speak in, and he's going to speak to you, give you a word from heaven, and yabba-dabba-doo. Then God says, well, let me give him a word right here, because he's been talking to me a lot. But as soon as God's going to speak, and Hosanna in the highest. And God can't even get a word in. And God's like, I guess he don't need me. I guess he thinks that I need to hear him more than he needs to hear me. But then some fathers, they listen, but they don't speak. Some fathers can't hear and can't speak when it comes down to prayer. We gotta listen for the voice of God. How does the voice of God come? The voice of God comes from sometimes your wife. Hello. My pastor would always say, the voice of God is starting to sound more and more like the voice of my wife. You know why? Because we don't think straight all the time, right? Honey, I don't think you should do that. Babe, you shouldn't think like that. The voice of God is starting to sound more and more like the voice of my wife. The voice of God sometimes comes from the voice of your wife. Learn to listen to your rib, to your wife. Sometimes the voice of God comes from your children. Daddy, Daddy, will you come read the Bible to me? Daddy, will you play basketball with me? Daddy, will you take me to ride my bike? Daddy! Daddy! Daddy. And sometimes it's God speaking through your children. Slow your roll. Slow down. Huh? Hold them up. Swallow them up. The voice of God, out of the mouth of babes, the Bible declares. Out of the mouth of babes, he will declare his praises. That is a scripture. And sometimes the voice of God, sometimes it comes from your children. Daddy, why do you drink? Daddy, why don't we go to church? Daddy, it's been a long time since we've been in church. Are you hearing me this morning? And many times the voice of God not only comes from your wife or from your children, but many times it comes from your spiritual leaders. Here, the jailer, it was the apostles that shouted out to him. This is why I shout. Why does Pastor yell? Because they yelled in the Bible. Paul yelled at the jailer, and I'm just yelling at you. Don't kill yourself! We're all here. This jailer heard the voice of God from the Apostle Paul and Silas. And many times the voice of God. Listen, I've never heard God come speak to me in an audible voice. If you have here, come preach, please. Please, you come preach if you're here. By all means. Huh? But God's never came to me and said,
Francisco.
Has it happened to me? Maybe it's happened to you. I don't know. It happened to me. Huh? But I have heard God speak through me.
Amen.
From the thundering behind the pulpit.
Come on, man.
Right. I've had heard God speak to me. From the man that stands behind the holy desk of God.
Right.
I've had God speak. speak to me at a conference, at a Mighty Men of Valor, at a world conference, at a regional service, at a Sunday morning service. Either God spoke to me on Friday through Brother Irvin's message. What a powerful message on scars, flaws. What a powerful message. God has spoken to me through my spiritual sons. God speaks through me. He speaks through me through the messenger, through my spiritual leaders. When these men of God come behind the pulpit, my spiritual sons, I submit myself to them. They become my spiritual leader. When they come behind the pulpit, and I submit myself to their preaching. Not unless they start preaching false doctrine, then I go steal the microphone. Sit down.
Amen.
Huh? So as long as you don't see me steal the microphone, they're preaching right. Hello, somebody. Huh? Listen. And the voice of God always comes from the Bible.
Amen. Right, yes. That's right. Amen. Yes. That's good.
You can count on that. You want to hear God speak? Open up this book.
Come on, man.
So many times Christians, man, God ain't spoken to me. I haven't heard God, and God is not moving in my life. But that just tells me you ain't reading the book. Well, I haven't heard God, and I don't feel like I'm growing. Well, that just tells me that you're not having devotion with God. You haven't been praying. You haven't been. Listen, my friend, you can't expect just to come to church and have the pastor spoon feed you, my friend. No, my friend, you got to get into the toolbox yourself, my friend. And I guarantee if you get into the toolbox, things will start to be fixed in your marriage. Things will start to be fixed in your family. Things will start to be fixed in your home. Things will start to be fixed in your life. When you get into the toolbox of God and you read the voice of God, you can hear the voice of God when you read the Bible. You have to have the tool of listening.
Right, amen.
The best thing a father can do is learn how to listen.
Amen. Yeah. That's right, that's right.
The best thing a father can do is learn how to listen. Listen. Listen to God. Listen to your wife. Listen to God. Listen to your children.
Yes, yes, yes.
Listen for the voice of God. The voice of God might even come through your boss. Heathen as he is. Hello, somebody. Huh? If God used the donkey in the Bible, God will use the donkey of your boss. Come on, somebody. As a father, we got to learn how to listen. Listen for God. The fourth tool is don't quit.
Right. Good.
Don't quit. Huh? Don't quit. He was about to kill himself. He was about to quit. He was about to throw in the towel. He had it. But listen, as a father, it's not easy being a father. So don't quit trying. You will mess up, but get back up.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And get in there.
Amen, amen.
Get in there with your kids.
Right.
Get in there with your marriage.
Right, amen.
Get in there in the ministry.
Yes,
amen.
You're going to mess up with your kids. You're going to mess up with your wife. I know they say happy wife, happy life.
Come on, man.
Huh? Huh? Some, you know, I don't know how they did it in the Bible. In the Bible, they had like multiple wives. You know, they had a harem, you know. I said, how do they do it? I have a hard enough time keeping one happy. Come on, somebody.
Come on now.
Huh? Happy wife, happy life.
Right.
And it ain't easy keeping her happy.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? Don't look at me like that. I just my wife. Amen. I know some of the wives. I'm easy to make happy, right, hon? Yes, yeah. Just say yes. Just say yes. Tú di que sí. Hello, somebody. Amen. It won't be Father's Day. Be Mother's Day again. Hello, somebody. Huh? Don't quit. You're going to mess up. But get back up and try again.
Amen.
You're going to let your children down. But get back up and get in their lives. You're not, remember, you got flaws. But don't quit. Don't stop trying. Keep on getting in there. It's not the end. You got God in your life. You got God in your corner.
Right, amen.
Don't quit trying.
Amen.
The fifth tool is brokenness and humility. Look at what the jailer did. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights because he heard, he listened. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Here we find this jailer humbled and broken.
Right.
He fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Have you allowed yourself to be broken before God?
Come on, amen. Good.
Have you allowed yourself to be broken before God and before man? See, this is a hard one for men to do.
Yeah. Come on, bring it down.
Because men, we got a lot of machismo. Right? Got a lot of pride. Kneel before no man. Huh? Don't take orders before no man. That just tells me you haven't been broken. You haven't been broken. Listen, God uses broken pieces. God will not use a man that has not been broken. Huh? God won't use a man. God won't use an unbroken man. God uses broken men. Somebody once said this: before God can use you greatly, he must wound you deeply. When Jesus fed the 5,000, it says that he fed them. And when he got the bread, it was two fish and 5 loaves of bread. And it says that he broke the bread and started to distribute it to the 5,000, the multitude. But he broke it. He had to first break the bread in order for it to be used, to be multiplied, to feed the thousands that were there. And listen, before God can use a man, he must break that man. You're looking at a man that has been broken.
Yeah.
Not just one time, but I've been broken many times.
Right.
For 18 years, God has been breaking me.
Right.
Before I came to Christ, I was a prideful man.
Yeah.
A prideful gang member. A prideful dope dealer.
Right.
I was a prideful individual. And I had nothing to be prideful about. Would walk around with my chest popped out, head all high. Would walk around like, you know, stick my nose up to God. Stick my nose up to my parents. Stick my nose up to the police. Wow. Very prideful.
Wow.
But it wasn't until that day, in March, the year 2000, that God broke me. He broke me. He humbled me. I had one of these jailer experiences. This jailer thought it was all over with because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And he said, "That's it. I've lost my job and I'm about to get killed. That's the end of my life." He came to a place where God took everything away. He thought that everything had been taken away. His life had been taken away in a second, in a blink of an eye. He probably thought he was all that before that. You know the jail. Come on, now. Some of you have been to jail. You've been to prison. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
All right? Just kind of wink at me. You've been there. Amen. You know, we ain't going to put you out there like that, right? Huh? But we've been there. And we know how the jailers can be. Come on, somebody. The correctional officers. Mr. Officer. Crooked officer. Right? Huh? Oh, you know, they're all that, you know, with their bitty club and their badge. And, huh? Be very prideful sometimes to jailers, you know, because you're locked up and they're not. Be very prideful. And I can imagine this is how this jailer was. Huh? He probably looked at all the other, you know, prisoners and say, "Ha-ha, see, you know, that's what you get. Got to be more like me." But there came a day where God broke him. He was broken. God, listen, God specializes in breaking people.
Amen. Yeah.
This is why it's important that you have a humble spirit.
Right.
Huh? I'd rather, the Bible says, humble yourself before God and in due time He will exalt you.
True.
We have to learn as fathers to humble ourselves. Because if we don't humble ourselves, He will.
Wow.
And let me tell you something, it's a lot better when you humble yourself.
Right.
Because it's like stepping into a cold swimming pool, right? When you humble yourself. Right? It's like you just get in it slowly. Right? Just get in it slowly. Come on, somebody. Right? God, He just picks you up and throws you in. Come on now. This jailer became broken and humbled. He fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Have you allowed yourself to be broken before God and before man? God wants broken fathers. Fathers that have been broken before His presence. And let me tell you something. This brokenness is going to happen time and time again. Brokenness can come in a lot of ways. It can come through a sickness. It can come through a poverty. It can come through all kinds of ways. It can come through something happening to your children or to your spouse. Brokenness can come. God has a way of life has a way of breaking us. But just know that when you're at that point, you're at a great point for God to lift you back up. You know why God breaks us? Because He likes to do puzzles. Huh? He looks at your picture and He says, that's an ugly picture. I don't like that picture. So He breaks it all apart. Breaks it all apart. Huh? And then you are there. You are just a mixed 1,000-piece puzzle. Right? Some of you are like 5,000 pieces. Huh? There He is. And it's all mixed up. And your life is all confused. And you're confused in your head. And you're confused in your heart. You're like, why did this happen to me? And why couldn't it? And why didn't it? And, you know, look at why can't I be like that person? And why can't I be? And why am I all messed up? Because He's the master puzzler.
Yeah.
He's the master puzzler, and He has a masterpiece in mind for your life. Quit looking at somebody else's life. Quit looking how God did it for them. That's not how God's gonna do it for you. That's what He has for them. But then He has a masterpiece in mind, and if you can just trust Him with the pieces, you ain't hearing me this morning. If you can trust Him with the broken pieces of your life, God has a way of putting those pieces together and making a masterpiece. So listen. It's all right to be broken, and it's all right to be humbled, even though you may look at your life and you may people look at you and say, man, you're all messed up. Man, you got pieces everywhere. That's right. All right. That's right, because He's working on me, because I'm broken and I know I'm humbled. Oh, but listen, don't just take a picture, because God is making a movie. Some people would just take a picture of your bad day. They don't know that God is making a movie.
Amen.
The fifth tool is salvation. Salvation. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? You know, he didn't first say, what must I do to be saved and for my family to be saved? He said, no, sirs, what must I do to be saved? If you don't value your own salvation, you won't value your children's salvation. Much less anyone else's salvation. You know, we put so much emphasis on our kids' future, health and education, finances, but we neglect the greater eternity. Oh, I'm saving up for my kids' tuition. I'm saving up for my kids' college. I'm saving up for my kids' university. But what about eternity? Well, the Bible says we're just like grass. You know, we used to have some green grass in the front yard at the church, didn't we?
Yeah.
Right? What happened to it? It died. It's brown now. And that's what the Bible says about our life. Our life is like the grass of the field. And if your life is like that, guess what? Your kid's life is like that. And we put so much emphasis on, oh, let's make them look pretty, and let's make them look good, and let's make them look green, and let's put a tuition for them, and let's do this, and that's all gravy. If you can afford it, do it. But what about eternity? What about the place they're going to spend for eternity?
Yeah.
I trip out on funerals because I go to a funeral and, you know, poor guy, poor girl, you know. They're all dressed up. Nowhere to go.
Wow.
We can go only as far as the casket. That's as far as we can go. It is appointed for every man to live, then comes death, then comes judgment. We have to learn to value our salvation, our eternal life, where we're going to spend eternity. Everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. Two places, two options. Not the Hotel California. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Your children, your kid, dad, will either spend eternity in hell or heaven, and they don't make it to heaven because of their good deeds. Because the scripture tells us, the toolbox tells us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. All men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the scripture also tells us of the tool of salvation.
Yes.
The tool of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
That washes away our sins.
Yes.
Though they be red as crimson, he makes them white as wool.
Yes.
And this jailer, when he fell broken before Paul and Silas, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He must have heard them praying. He must have heard them praising. He must have heard them preaching.
Yeah.
He must have heard them talk about salvation. See, this is why it's important to preach and pray and praise, because you never know who's listening. The person on the next cubicle could be listening. The person on the forklift next to you could be listening. Quit letting the devil shut your mouth. You may not have a pulpit, but you got a forklift. You may not have a pulpit, but you have a cubicle. And this individual, you know, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" If you don't value your own salvation, you're not going to value your children's salvation. Some fathers, "Oh, you go to church." No. Van pa la iglesia. Go with your mom. Go. Okay, call Josh. Call the leaders to pick you up, because you need to go to church. You back in. Cast the demons out. Not knowing that the biggest demon. Do what I say, not what I do. No, my friend. You got to care enough for your salvation before you care before you make an impact on their salvation. I got six more. I'm going to give them to you real fast. Six, believe. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus, he tells them. That's what the jailer said. What must I do to say? Believe in the Lord Jesus. Listen. Have faith for your children. If they're not saved and they're not serving God, have faith for them. Some people say, "Yeah, believe in your kids. Believe that they can shoot for the stars. And if they miss the stars, at least they hit the moon." That's great. That's great and fine. I believe in your kids. Please. Please believe in them. But that's not enough. It's not enough to believe in them. You must believe God for them. Let me say that one more time. It's not enough to believe in them. You must believe God for them. You got to have faith for them. You got to have faith that they're going to serve God. They're going to serve God for life. That the enemy's not going to have to drag them through the mud like he drug us through the mud. I'm believing God that my kids are... I'm believing that Timmy is going to grow up in the house of the Lord, and he ain't ever going to experience the things that I experience. I'm believing God that he ain't going to have to go to the world. He ain't going to have to experience gangs. He ain't going to have to experience drugs. I'm believing God. I believe in him. I believe he can be whatever he wants to be. But listen, I don't believe in that doctrine anyways. I believe that he can be what God wants him to be. Some people say, oh, just tell your kids, believe they can be whatever they want to be. Shut up. You know what I wanted to be when I was a kid? The Scarface of Oak Cliff.
Yeah.
Oh, see, mijo, yeah, you can be the Scarface of Oak Cliff, mijo. No.
Wow.
You believe that they're going to be what God called them to be.
Yes.
What God called them to be. Because that's the best life they can have. The best life your children can have is to live the life that God made them to be. God created you, kids. God made you. And listen, you're going to be unhappy if you try to do your own thing. You know why? Because you're trying to fit a circle and a square. God didn't create you to be a square. He created you to be a circle. So quit trying to be a square. Quit trying to fit in when you were born to stand out. And as fathers, we need to preach that to our children, that I'm believing that you're going to be all that God called you to be. I'm praying over your life that you're going to answer the call of God. I know you have a career, but a career is not a calling. A career is what you think of yourself to do. A career is what you see everybody else doing and saying you can be. But a calling is who God called you to be. God called you to be a doctor. God called you to be a lawyer. God called you to be a preacher. God called you to be a missionary. There's something, yes, you got a calling to be a lawyer, but you're going to be a lawyer for the kingdom of God. You're going to be a doctor for the kingdom of God. You're going to be a businessman for the kingdom of God. Begin to speak those things. But remember, don't try to make them what you want them to be. Oh, I want you to be a lawyer because I need a good lawyer. No, my friend. Believe God for them. 7. You need the tool of the Word of God. It says they brought them in and they preached the Word of God to them. He preached the Word of God. Paul and Silas, it says he preached the Word of God to the whole family. They spoke the Word of the Lord to them. Speak God's Word into your children's life. But the only way you could speak it into your children's life is if you speak it into your life. How do you speak it into your life? Every morning you get your cup of joe, your shanate. Your Starbucks, your whatever, your apple juice, orange juice, whatever. You sip it and you drink in the Word of God. Because you can't give the Word if you ain't getting the Word. Listen, it says that Paul and Silas, they spoke the Word of the Lord to them. Speak God's Word into your children's life. Don't just let the preacher do it. So many people just let the preacher do it. Just let the children's ministry do it. Just let, you know, Amy and Isabel do it. Just let, you know, the helpers do it. Alexis and Daisy and Celeste, just let them do it. And then when they come into the sanctuary, let Pastor yell at them. And yeah, Pastor yells real good. He'll get them, honey. Yeah. No.
Come on now.
The preacher ain't always going to be there. But you are. Well, I don't want to stuff it down their throat. And I don't want to stuff it down through a man's baloney. You stuff it down their throat. Huh? You sprinkle it every time. Huh? You buy picture frames and put them on your walls and put them in the restroom and put them in the kitchen. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they broke bread and ate together daily. And the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And you put scriptures all over your house and you sprinkle them with the word and you speak to them the word of God. If you don't know it, learn it, my friend. I ain't saying you got to memorize the Bible. And listen, don't tell me you can't learn the Bible. You know how you know how to sing, you know, all those songs, you know, the cumbias and the, you know, the mariachis and the mañanitas and happy birthday. You can learn the scripture too. Come on, somebody. You know, Tupac and Big Papa and all these other, You can learn a scripture too.
Right.
Speak the word of God into them. Because the preacher ain't always going to be there. Paul and Silas got bailed out.
Come on, man.
And they went to another town to preach. But the jailer had to stay there. To what? To continue to provide. And to continue to keep his house in order through the word of God. The eighth thing is that he showed them compassion. It says that the jailer, he got Paul and Silas and he patched up their wounds, right? You know what he was doing? He was showing his children and he was being a compassionate individual. He modeled being a compassionate individual. And men, listen, sometimes I know that mom wants us to be the hatchet. They want us to do the dirty work. Get them, babe. Get them, honey. You get them. I'm telling dad, wait till your dad gets here. And listen, spare the rod, spoil the child, yes. And there's some times, hey, you're going to have to pull out the faca. You have to pull out the belt. Come on now. Make sure it's on the behind. Amen. Nobody can see. Don't leave marks. Amen. Don't leave marks. But sometimes you got to pow-pow. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I had a lot of pow-pows. Not really. But a few. I just seen my brothers and sisters get pop out, and I was okay. I was like, whoo, whoo, whoo. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Oh, he got my sister and brother one time real good. We really made him mad. He broke something in the house. He took turn. One was on this side, the other one's on this side. Whoosh, whoosh. I was like, oh yeah, me and my little sister P were like, oh, my other big sister's out, sorry. Oh, we learned from then on, boy. But we're here.
Amen.
We're here. Huh? I'm the only dummy that went to jail. They learned their lesson. Listen, the jailer, he was compassionate. You know, even though I say that about my dad, you know, that happened. But more than that, you know what I remember? Is compassion.
Yeah.
I did worse things as them. But you know, instead of doing that with help, he would go, get in the car. I'm like, oh, you're going to get in the car. Get in the car. Oh, okay. Get in the car and you take me for a drive. When you take me to a lake, Mountain Creek Lake. I was scared of that lake when I was a kid. I had bad dreams about that lake. I thought Jason lived in there. And he took me to the lake. There was a park back there. He would talk to me. He just talked to me. Then he would cry and talk to me. Because I was really messing up. I was drinking, smoking. I was hanging out with friends. I guess he realized, man, the belt ain't doing his job. But you know what? That's probably the greatest thing that made an impact in my life. Compassion. Compassion. This is why when I pull you over to talk to you, some people get all hurt. You have to rebuke me. Compassion. Sometimes those talks were stern, but sometimes they were gentle. And as a father, we have to learn, listen, to father like the father, because isn't that how the father does us? He doesn't throw all our business out there for everybody to see. But what does he do? When you open up the Bible, then boom, it's like you read what you're going through, and it's like, man, how did you know? But I'm glad that you told me in silence. Because he's a father of compassion. And we have to learn to draw that from the father, to be compassionate. 9, he led in obedience. What was this? He was baptized. And then he says, come on, everybody else is getting baptized. He said, the whole family, the whole house was baptized, the jailer said. He says, I'm going to get baptized. You're all going to get baptized because Apostle Paul and Silas said we need to get baptized. So we're going to get baptized. And if I'm going to get baptized, then you're going to get baptized too. What was this? He was leading them to obedience to Christ. 10, he had the fun, I call this the fun tool. It says, then he brought out and he cooked food for them. He had a cookout. He had a cookout. What is this? This is the fun tool. Have fun with your children, fathers. Have fun with your children. Let it not be always about a rebuke or always about, come on, let's go work, or come on, let's go cut the yard, or come on, let's go do this. That's great. You have to teach them discipline. But listen, also tell them, come on, let's have a cookout, man. Let's go to the water park. We ain't got a lot of money, but let's go walk the dog at the park. Let's have some fun here. You know why? Because you create memories like that. Take them to the beach. Take them to the pool. Don't let it just be about work and business. Have fun with them. Matter of fact, have more fun with them. Because they'll never forget that. They'll know you as a dad of discipline, compassion, and salvation, but they'll also know you as a dad of fun. That's what I got to work on. I'm not too fun. They always say, Mom, 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 Mom. Every once in a while, Dad. Have fun with your kids. LOL with them. Laugh out loud with them. Camp out with them. I know you're a city slicker. So, get a tent. Go camp with them. I don't know, the tent might fall. That's the fun part. Might get bit up by mosquitoes. That's the fun part. Have fun with them. The Bible says at the end, what does it say? Verse 34. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, cooked out. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. The last two, 11, joy. He was filled with joy. Why? Because he came to believe in God. Joy is Jesus others than yourself. J-O-Y. Joy doesn't come in a beer bottle. Matter of fact, if you're a drinker, Dad, you probably mess things up. That's probably the cause of fights. You think you have joy, but that joy is going to run out. Joy doesn't come in a bottle. Joy doesn't come in watching Mexico and Germany play. Sorry, Eli. Joy's, it's fun, don't get me wrong. But true lasting joy is knowing Jesus. Amen. Knowing Jesus. You know why? Because the world didn't give you him and the world can't take him away. The world can take away the alcohol, it can take away the tobacco, wacky tobacco. The world can take away Six Flags and the world can take away. Can't take away your Jesus. It says his whole household was saved. The best tool that you can have, fathers, is your whole household saved. Psalms 127 verse 5. I close with this verse. Psalms 127 verse 5. I love this verse. You can turn to it. I'm going to click to it. I got my tools up here. My iPad, my tool. I don't got a bunch of tools. I borrow my dad's tools. He gets mad at me because I never give them back. I got a surprise for him today. I got all his tools. That's his gift. Psalms 127 verse 5. Listen to this. Blessed is the man. No. Look at verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in courts. They would not be put to shame. So when they're at the gate. See, in the back of the days, the men of the town would hang out in the front of the town at the gate. They would just hang out kind of like guarding. They'd be shooting the breeze, telling stories. They'd just be there. And you know, the great men, you know what they would tell stories about? About their kids. Oh, little Johnny can swing the bat. Oh man, little Pepe Le Pew, man, he should see it for a touchdown. Man, little Susie, oh, she can dance. She's so smart. She's so pretty. Huh? And they'd be there telling stories about their children. Because their quiver was full. And then as they would grow up, they would have more stories to tell. And have more stories. Oh, man, little Johnny's doing great. He graduated high school. Man, you know what, man? He's been doing good. He's focused. He's serving God. He's serving on the worship team. Man, he's doing great. Blessed is the man who has his quivers full. Full. You know, at the end of life, I believe that we start to realize that it's not about how much we made, but it's about what we made. Amen. And I'm talking about things, because things will fade away. But when you look at your children, they're going to tell a story. When you see your grown, they're going to tell a story. They're going to tell a story. Your children tell your story. What will the story be? Will it be just face value, shallow, what this earth can hold? Or will it also be a story of eternity? Of eternity. Remember, the best thing that you can give your children is eternal security with Christ Jesus. You say, man, that's a tall order to fill. There's a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says that God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. In other words, it says that everything that we need to be a good father, to be a good parent, God has given it to us. And it says, through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. This is not a physical tool, but they're spiritual tools. That when you learn to know God, when you know the Father, you'll be a great father. But you got to get to know the Father. You need a relationship with God to be a godly father and a great father. Stand to your feet here with me this morning. I want to be a good father to my children. I know I got flaws. Sometimes I gotta go borrow a tool. I gotta go to heaven and say, God, there's a specialty tool that I don't have. It's called patience. Timmy got me mad. Frank, you know. We went to Houston, and the pastor over there gave our kid a BB gun. With real BBs. We got home and me and my wife were getting away for our anniversary, and we're like, should we give it to him? They were staying at grandpa's house. We're like, yeah, man, give it to him. You know? We just warned them, don't break anything, don't shoot at anything. And we let them have a BB gun. Real BBs. Well, I not only have Frankie and Timmy, but I got also a spiritual son over there. I ain't gonna name no names. Guess. My spiritual son comes and he plays with my sons. He sees they have a BB gun. All right, man, let's get a bottle and let's aim. Let's shoot the ball. So they go and they shoot the ball. You know, little Frankie and Timmy, you know, grown spiritual brother. Yeah, let's shoot the ball. They're shooting the bottle. They shoot the BB gun and it ricochets. And it hits a vehicle that's parked at my dad's house. I'm sorry you don't know that, but I'm confessing right now. And it broke the window. The vehicle was a men's own band. I didn't know. They didn't tell me. I got home. I got to the door, Frank and Timmy run up to me, and they start to confess all their sins like I'm a priest. Brother broke the window. Brother broke the window. Brother and the unnamed disciple. I said, what? Yeah, they broke the veil. I looked at the unnamed disciple. And I said, we fixed it. We fixed it. We fixed it. I said, what did you fix? I said, all right, okay. He's like, give me that BB gun. I don't know why I'm telling that story. Patience. Patience. Ooh, I had a lot of patience. Then we got a new Nintendo Switch for Frankie's birthday. His little brother. There's a hole in the back room, the green room. He gets one of the remotes and puts it inside the hole. It slipped in there, Dad. It accidentally slipped in there. There's furniture in front of that little hole. Patience. That's a specialty tool. It's going to take a lot of patience. A lot of patience. Some of you dads, you may not have your children in your life right now. Patience. Patience. Wait. Wait. Some of your children are probably mad at you. Patience. Just connect with the Heavenly Father. And connect with the Heavenly Father. You know, I came out of prison. I did 2 years in prison, church. Then I came out of prison and God put me in the home. God told me to go to the home. He didn't say it like this, but it was almost like this. Go to the men's home. Go to the Victor. My family didn't know what I was doing. He said, you got out of prison. What do you need to go back to prison for? I had to go with patience. Because, you know, out of my kids like for 3 years. Then I graduated the home. And then my pastor, my spiritual father, whom I love very much, he said, I want you to run the second phase home. I said, I can't have my kids there around these guys. I said, all right, I'll do it. 1 year turned into 2 years. It was like 4, 5, 6, 7 years till my daughters came into my life. When I finally got married, when I finally married my wife, I think they finally felt safe to come around me. But my daughter's up here singing on the worship team. My other daughter, Celeste, is somewhere. Where's she at? She's back over there. She's hiding. Come here. Come here. I want to show you off. My other daughter, right here, she plays the piano. My kids are back in the children's ministry. Patience. It's going to take time sometimes. But it's okay. So you might have a bad rap with your kids right now because of your BC days, your before Christ days. Remember those? Remember those when mom says, you ain't seeing the kids no more because until you get right. Right? You get right because you're a bad influence, and rightly so. Rightly so sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. But when you start to have AD after the death, when Jesus is in your life, listen, there's a lot of things you did in your past that the fixer, get over here. I gotta cut some things up in your life. I gotta cut this little sin out. Oh, that's a big chunk right there, man. That's a big one. Big one! Oh, you little sinner, you. Oh, it's kind of hard. You knucklehead. Got this on. I knocked some things out your life. Why? Because he's fixing you up. And why would he bring something so precious to him into something that you're just going to mess up? And often, why did it take so long, God, for me? This is because if I would have did it any earlier, it would have messed up this beautiful thing right here. Just, you would have messed this beautiful thing. She don't like when I do that. Dad, I can do that. She don't like that. I'm breaking her. I'm sorry. It's on Facebook Live. Erase it. I'm bad, Dad. Where's Celeste? Get over here. And get away with me. Daddy. It takes time. But at least I'm not hurting them by my exampleship. It took time. I'm not the perfect dad. I'm not. Do I need to spend more time with them? Yes, I do. And I'm in their life, but I don't spend enough time with them. I don't spend enough time with my kids. Huh? But they're patient with me too. The next message I'm going to preach is tools of being a good child. First tool, let dad mess up your hair. Lift your hands. I need to be quiet before I start crying. Dads, come up here. I want to pray for you. Dads, come up here. Dads, come up here. I'm going to pray for you. Put a lot. I got me some oil.
Come on,
I'm going to pay you one. We need the anointing of God, guys.
Amen.
We can do nothing without the anointing. I need the anointing to preach, and you need the anointing to preach to your children. I don't care what life you're living. Preach to your kids. Even sometimes you're not even living right. You know, you heard me say about flaws. Just be honest with your flaws about your kids, with your kids. You know, be honest. I think I respect real people. I can respect a real man. If you're drinking a beer and you're preaching to me, I can respect that. But if you can be man enough to say, you know, I'm drinking, but, you know, it ain't right, I can somewhat respect that. Because at least you're telling me the truth. But sometimes as fathers, we try to cover up and no, it's okay to drink wine, it's okay. No. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Don't bring everybody down just because. I don't know why I'm saying this. But the most important thing, if you really want to make an impact, is line up your life to the Word of God.
Amen.
Line up your life to the Word of God. Does it mean that you're not going to have problems? No, my friend, you're going to have problems still. I'm sorry, this is not an easy fix. But it does mean that, you know what? You're going to do something right. Things are going to come out right because you can't lose with the things we use.
Amen.
You can't lose with the Word of God. God is faithful. He will not allow His Word to come back void. Lift your hands. Church, stretch your hands. Help me pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands on these precious fathers and I anoint them with oil, Father God, I pray. It's your anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Lord, I pray, God, that you would break every yoke. Father, I pray that you would touch us from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Anoint their hands to divide. Anoint their hands to provide. Anoint their hearts to love. Anoint their minds to preach and teach. Anoint their feet to preach the good news. Father, I pray, make them to be like you, our Heavenly Father. God, I pray a special anointing upon their life. A special tool of patience. Father, for their grandchildren, for their great-grandchildren. Bless them, I pray, Father. They're in your house. They're in your house. They're doing something right. I come against the devil, God. Trying to lie to them, God. They're good fathers, God. They're good fathers, God. You are the Father fixer. You fixed me, Jesus. You can fix all of us. We know we got flaws, God. We got them, God. Fix our flaws, because only you can. Only you can, Jesus. God, restore our children to us, God. Restore them, Jesus. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, Lord, fill them. Fill these fathers with the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're a father to the fatherless. Even some of these men, they didn't even have a father in their life.
So it's hard for them to understand what a father is. But Lord, you have come into their life now. And now you're teaching them to be a father. And I pray, God, that if I can help them in any way I can, Lord, that you would allow me, and they would allow me, to spiritually father them. Lord God, I pray that you would just anoint them, God, restoration and peace upon their life. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord, you are a faithful Father, a good Father. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, God. We worship you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Some of them, you call them to be spiritual fathers. Let that calling come to pass in their life. Just close your eyes, men. Worship the Lord. Worship your heavenly Father. Yes. Condemnation is not of you. This is their day, your day. Bless them, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen.